already been just a wonderful and blessed day. We've been able to be here, sing songs, praise to God. I want to thank Carter for how well he's led the singing and his song selection. I appreciate that so very much. And the lesson that we heard earlier was just absolutely fantastic. Brett, thank you for that. The truth that was taught is something that we need desperately to know and to understand. Jermaine, thank you for your leading of the Lord's table. Appreciated that very, very, very much. I want to begin our study by reading with you some verses out of the third chapter of the book of Philippians. And these, of course, are very familiar to all of us. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even unto you." You know, when I look about at our world today, and as I think about our world as we go into this brand new world, I'm reminded of a song, and I'm not sure how often we sing it. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. And I think that pretty well describes the attitude that so many of us have as we look back on 2020 and as we look ahead at this year, 2021. Men's hearts are filled with fear. And as a result of that, I think sometimes Christians begin to just think of life as a bust. You know, what is there in this for me? Why do I even go to church? Why do I even sing praises? Why do I partake of the Lord's Supper? When I look about the world in which I live, it is just a world that just fills us with fear. And as a result of this, our feelings about society and about the world in which we live, it kind of tends to choke out what life means to us as Christians. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, Jesus in the parable of the sower tells us that the cares of this world can choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. And he's not just talking about illicit cares, wicked, immoral, ungodly cares, but just the cares in general that the world provides for us tends to choke out the word, or we may even, again, in the words of the parable of the sower, just not have any root within ourselves. And when there's tribulation and there's trials, then we fall away. And we often become, because of the pressures of the world, we often become just very vulnerable to the evil one. We become very susceptible to the temptations and the wiles of the devil. You know, I got to tell you, if you're interested in geography, or if you're interested in world events and world affairs, I read something that was very interesting to me about gazelles in Africa. And it says every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up and has this instinct inbred within him that, you know, today I'm going to have to run faster than a lion in order to survive. And that's just the instinct that they have. And of course, this comes from God. There's no question about that. But when I read that, I could not help but think, every day, no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what the world is throwing our way, every day we have to wake up like that gazelle. And we have to realize that, you know what, I'm going to have to run faster, or otherwise I'm going to be overtaken by the lion that's after me, which is the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So if I don't wake up every day realizing that I am in a race for my life, if I don't wake up every day realizing that regardless of the pressures that I'm facing, regardless of the things that this life is throwing at me, I am going to have to devote myself to living the life that Christ has saved me to live. In the verses that we read, out of Philippians chapter 3, what we see here is that Paul is indicating that our life is just that. It is a progress. It's not something that, you know, what, one and done. Once I'm baptized, everything is fine. No, we're in a race for our life. It's a progress. Notice what Paul said. Paul said he has not apprehended it yet. I've not finished the course. I have not made it to the end. I am still in this race. I am still trying to apprehend or to try to seize that which is set before me. So what Paul does in these verses is he gives us what I refer to as keys to a great life in the Lord. No matter what the troublesome times are, no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what it is that we face, Paul has given us the keys to a great life in the Lord. And there are just three simple things that he says in our text that I'd like for us to focus on this morning. The first thing that I want us to focus on is that if we're going to live in the Lord successfully, we have to abandon the past, no matter what it involves. One thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, let go of the past. There's been a lot of things that have happened in our lives. There have been a lot of things that we've endured this past year or even the past decade that we've lived. Paul says, let go of it. If you're going to be a successful Christian, if you're going to be someone who is able to press on to the goal that is before you, you have to abandon, you have to let go of the past. You can't change it. You can't reset it. You can't go back and undo it. There's no such thing as a time machine. There's no such thing as back to the future. There's no such thing as turning back the hands of time. The only thing that we're going to be able to do is just simply let go of it. And if we're going to face 2021 with any kind of commitment, with any kind of hope, with any kind of anticipation, we've got to let go of the past. Forget it. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it was successful, whether it was a failure, let go of it. Don't resurrect the bones of the past, no matter what they are. Now, I know that's easier said than done. And I realize that there's no such thing as absolutely being able to do that. We're going to remember certain things. Even Paul, who wrote this letter to the Philippians, was not able to just simply erase from his memory all that he had done. Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle Paul, was someone who had a whole lot of baggage in his life. He was someone who was responsible for the death of Christians. He said, as a matter of fact, you know, when there was a vote, I cast my vote against them in Acts 26 and verse 10. And so, you know what? I put them in jail. I was responsible for the death of Stephen. I was responsible for the imprisonment of a number of Christians. I was responsible for arresting them, bringing them back, having them incarcerated. So he couldn't forget those things in the sense of just completely wiping them from his memory. As a matter of fact, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, in, I believe, reviewing these in his mind, that he was the chief of sinners. So when Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, he's not telling us that we can live some sort of Pollyannish life, that we can just erase all of these things from our memory entirely. What he's telling us is, we cannot let those things in the past become so burdensome to us that they slow us down in our life as a Christian. Paul did not let his past, no matter how wicked it was, no matter how immoral he had been, he did not let his past burden him down to the point that all he did was wallow in self-guilt and self-degradation. He didn't wallow in doubt. He didn't wallow in failure. He said, you know what? I've got to let this go. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to function as a Christian. We're not going to be able. Let's just look back on it for a moment. And the things that we've done and the things that we've left behind, we're not going to be able to have any kind of success in 2021 as Christians if we can dragging all of that with us. All of the guilt and all of the fear and all of the anxiety and all of the problems that we have had in the past. If we drag that with us, it's going to slow us down. As a matter of fact, it may even diminish our ability to serve Christ. Okay. I was a failure. You were a failure. Okay, let's just acknowledge that. Maybe I was a failure as a Christian. Maybe I was a failure as a father, as a husband. I've done some things that perhaps I wish I hadn't done. And I think all of us may feel that way. We look at the lives that we've lived. Okay, I failed. I said what I shouldn't have said. I did what I shouldn't have done. Okay, maybe we have failed, and maybe we have failed miserably. Repent of that and move on. Leave it in the past and move on. This is what Paul is trying to tell us here. Maybe you've hurt someone. Maybe you've said some things that you shouldn't have said. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been hurt verbally or physically. Maybe someone has betrayed you. Okay. What is it Paul says? This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I've got to let them go. I cannot focus upon those things. I cannot drag them with me into the future. Let them go, Paul says. Forget them and move on. You know, I tell people sometime like, you know, when I remember when I first tried to learn how to use a computer and things of this nature, you know, going back to the old DOS versions and all of that kind of thing. You know, sometimes you just had to clear out things in order for your computer to work. You had to get out all of that old memory in order for it to be able to function. And this is what we're going to have to do. If we're going to be successful as Christians in 2021, we've got to clean out the past. We've got to repent and we've got to move on, clean out the memories. And when we're able to do that, then we'll move into the next step here that Paul talks about. He said, if we're going to be successful in the Lord, we're going to have to abandon the past and we're going to have to face the future. Reaching forward, he said, to those things which are ahead. Just kind of get that picture before us. No matter, now he's not telling us if everything is going to be good. He's not telling us that we need to reach forward to those things which are ahead so long as they're good things and so long as they're not troublesome things. That's not what he's saying. He said we have to live in the reality of today, anticipating if there is a tomorrow, just continuing on in the life as a Christian. The reason, listen to me now, this is very important. The reason so many of us are so afraid of what is on the future horizon is because we're lacking trust in He who controls today. This is very important for us. We've got to trust in God who is in control of today. Today is all that we have. Now, there may be some things on the horizon if God allows us to get through 2021 that we cannot even possibly begin to fathom in our mind today as to what it may be. You know, we're thinking about, well, I hope we can get back to normal. I hope this is not the new normal. And all of those things, I understand them. But do you realize that right now is all that we have? The reality of life is this is it. Yes, if God gives us tomorrow, I'm going to reach forward to those things which are ahead. There's any question about that. But I'm not going to fear what's on the horizon because now is all that I have. Listen, in the Sermon on the Mount, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 25. Listen very carefully to this. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What's Jesus teaching us here? What's the point that he's trying to make to us? Is he just telling us, okay, you just live in some sort of fairy tale world and you don't worry about it, you just kind of stumble through life as a buffoon? No, that's not what he's saying. What Jesus is trying to do is teach us to trust without equivocation in the goodness of God. Remember what he said early on in that same chapter, in Matthew 6 and verse 11, when he was giving us the model prayer. He said in verse 11, give us this, we're to pray this, give us this day our daily bread. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us dependence upon God. He didn't say, give us this day our weekly supply of bread. We don't know if we have a week. He didn't say, give us this day our monthly supply of what we need, our yearly supply. No, he's teaching us to depend and trust upon him. I cannot, and you cannot, put your trust in the fact of tomorrow. Right now is all that we have. Well, what does it mean, reaching for? Well, if God gives us tomorrow, then I'm going to live for him today and I'll live for him tomorrow. Notice again in Matthew 6 and in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we can reach forward to those things that are ahead is because of him. Because of our trust in him. I can face tomorrow because of him. Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Is this something that we just give an academic nodding of our heads to? Do we really trust that? I can face tomorrow because of him. I can reach forward to those things that are ahead because of him. Not because the things are always going to come up roses, not because everything's going to be fine. Because I got to tell you, I can't place too much trust and how good tomorrow is going to be. There's no way for me to do that. I look at the depravity of our society. I look at the illnesses and the sicknesses and the deaths that are on the horizon. And you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I don't have a lot of confidence in the immorality that our country is facing with homosexuality and divorce and fornication and abortion and all of the things that are just immoral and ungodly. I don't have a lot of confidence in things on the horizon looking all that good. But I tell you what I have confidence in. I have confidence in him who loves me. I have confidence in him who died for me. I have confidence in him who controls tomorrow. I think about a time that the Apostle John wrote at the conclusion of the first century. And he was writing about conditions that we may say that look very parallel in many regards to what it is that we're facing today. And of course, that's the book of Revelation. You know what John does in the book of Revelation? He gives us three views. And he says, as a matter of fact, in chapter 1, or it's said to him in chapter 1 by the Lord, in verse 19, write the things which you have seen. And you know the things that he has seen is the risen, conquering Christ. That's pictured in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Write the things that you've seen. And he did. And then he's told, write the things which are. And he writes the condition of the seven churches in Asia Minor in chapters 2 and 3. And then he says to John, and the things which will take place after this. Now notice how chapter 4 and verse 1 of the book of Revelation begins. After these things. The things what? The things which are. The condition of the seven churches. The things which you've seen. The resurrected Christ. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And what John was able to see is, no matter how bleak the future was, no matter how dark the prospects were for Christians at that time, God is still on His throne. This is what John saw. He saw the throne scene in chapter 4. God is on His throne. Things may not go back to normal. Things may not be the way that you would like for them to be. Persecution may be on the horizon. But you know what? There's no need to despair, because God is on His throne. And when Paul faced the future, as he wrote to the Philippians, he described it as reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you look at the New International Version, the NIV doesn't use the term reaching forward. It says straining toward. You ever seen races? You ever been in a race? I mean, I'm talking about a foot race. If you've seen these runners as they're approaching the finish line, what you see these runners doing, especially when the race is very tight, these runners are straining, their arms are tearing at the air, and they're thrusting their chest out. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to pass that finish line. They're trying to strain toward the finish line. This is what Paul is telling us. He's picturing a runner here, straining with his arms clawing at the air, and his body bent, leaning toward the tape. And unless we're putting everything, and I mean everything, into our Christianity, we're being fraudulent. If we're allowing the distresses and the problems of the world to bog us down to where we've lost our incentive to run, then we've been a fraud. I have no idea how this year that we're beginning today, or really 2 days ago, is going to end up. I don't know. But one thing that I do know is God is still on His throne. And as long as there's life in our bodies, we need to be straining forward and pressing on, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You're going to be successful. Let go of the past. Face the future. And then keep the goal in sight. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just as there are no tomorrows, and just as there are no yesterdays, there is only now. There's only this moment. And so what I've got to do is I've got to keep my eye on the goal in this moment of my life, and not let anything distract me, not let anything bog me down, not let anything cause me to take my eye off of the goal. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and he says in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We must never become distracted by relationships. We must never become distracted by things. We must never never allow ourselves to be distracted by the problems that we're encountering in this life. And you know, if we do, we're going to think about quitting. If my relationship to somebody is more important than my relationship to the Lord, then you know what? I'll drop out. If my concern over things is more important than my concern over the Lord, then you know what? I'll drop out. I love the things that I would hear the old-timers say when I was preaching in the rural section of Kentucky. They would talk in such simplistic ways. They say, you know, there's no quitting place in this life as a Christian. You don't just reach a point someday and say, you know, that's it, I quit. There's no stopping. There's no quitting. And that's the way that we've got to look at life in Christ. Are there problems? Yeah, there are problems. Are there difficulties? Yeah, there are difficulties. Are there troublesome times? Yeah, troublesome times filling men's hearts with fear. Yeah, that's a reality. But there is no stopping. There is no quitting. I have to keep my eye on the goal that is set before me. No matter what it is that I'm going through in life, I've got to keep my eye on that goal. It's my understanding that when the Roman legions under Julius Caesar and their ships finally invaded the British Isles, one thing that the commanders did was have the Romans, upon disembarking from those ships, to burn the ships. And when they did that, any means of escape was gone. The only thing left for them was to press on and conquer. And that's the way it is with our life as Christians. We've got to press on and we've got to conquer. We've got to keep the goal before us. There's no turning back. There are no ships in the harbor. Keep our sight on the Lord. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, ever looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look back. But what happened to Lot's wife? She looked behind her and became a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife in Luke 17. He also said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62 that if we take hold of the plow and we look behind us, we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. There's no turning back. So if you want to be successful in your service to the Lord, very simple. I haven't dealt with anything that is profound. I've just looked at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Forget those things that are behind. Press on to the goal. Reaching forward. Just face the future and face it with the Lord. Paul expressed it as our upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it's been my observation that some people are religious. Some people are part of the church because of tradition. Well, it's just the way that I was raised. My parents have always been members. We've always gone here. We've always done that. So they're religious because of tradition. Some are religious because it's social. Don't want to be looked down upon as being thought of as, you know, atheist or agnostic. Some people are religious because of their spouse, or some people religious because of business connections or what have you. Those who are religious for any reason other than a commitment to Christ will fall by the wayside. There's no question about that. If you've been raised with Christ, set your affection on things that are above, Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. As we face this new year, as we face whatever comes our way, we can face it because of who we are and because of who it is that we serve. Do not be afraid. of what 2021 will bring. Do not be afraid of what may happen. All we have to do is press on to the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you've not begun that trek, if you have not put on Christ in baptism, what in the world is holding you back? What are you waiting for? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if you've done that, Christian friend, let me ask you, are you facing the future with fear and trepidation? Are you? There's no reason to do that. We can press on to the goal that is before us because we are Christians. Our sins have been forgiven. We have hope in Him. And whether it's going to be in this life or not, we have a great future ahead of us in His presence forever and forever. You're subject to the invitation of Christ. We ask you to come right now as together we stand and we sing.